Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here at New Heights Brewing Company. Come see us. 928 Rep John Lewis Way. We got free food. Come in here, order a beer, see Junie from our staff. He's got a white game shirt on, and he'll hand you two tickets to see Shinedown at Bridgestone Arena in early May. Hello! And go see David from Wager. He'll give you some free bets.
Free bets, free food, free tickets to Shinedown, plus watch the games.
I mean,
you're going to go watch the games anyway.
Do I need to say any more?
Come on.
We're having fun, this is a place to watch the tournament game. So this is the place. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, now joined by Greg Wyshynski, a.k.a. Can we still call him Puck Daddy? Are you still Puck Daddy? Or I feel like, you know, okay, I just want to make sure you're still Puck Daddy. I didn't know if your star has risen so much that you've dropped Puck Daddy. If you were above Puck Daddy, Greg, I didn't know.
No, so when I'm on Daily Wager giving out the hockey picks, that's my nom de plume on Daily Wager on ESPN 2. They call me Puck Daddy. I think it makes me sound more like a big shot than I am. But
The
bummer is when I left Yahoo, I thought Puck Daddy was going to be like James Bond or Doctor Who. Like it was just going to be a title bestowed upon a series of people for years to come. But then they got rid of the blog, so I don't even know. But you can call me that. That's fine.
And of course, Greg is a legend now. He has raised his status in Nashville because he came to the Stadium Series, and he did make the appearance at the home base freakout, and it was a who's who. It's because Greg was there, it took it to a whole other level. The national audience came in, so Greg knew where to go.
It's incredible, man. I always love going to the meetups when the Predators are playing in a big game, if only to see Hal Gill treated like Elvis Presley at these events.
Yes, you got to witness that. Yes, Skillsy has become a legend, along with Chris Mason.
Yeah, for sure. Like, him and Mace walk in. I mean, in Hal's case, like, the man's, like, you know, 8 feet tall, so you can't miss him. So people just gravitate. It's like watching the Space Needle walk into a bar. But it's awesome to see. And I thought the Stadium Series was a ton of fun. I mean, everyone knew that Nashville was going to be an absolute home run as a venue for an outdoor game, and I think that's what came to fruition. Everybody had such a fun time. The atmosphere was incredible. Clearly, all the Tampa fans that invaded town enjoyed themselves on Broadway as well. So it was a great time, and I hope it portends them doing more events in Nashville going forward.
We had one of your guys from Daily Wager on, Joe Fortenbaugh. Was it Monday? Yeah, I guess at the beginning of the week or earlier this week to get ready for the NCAA tournament. By the way, he gave us some great tips if you're ever going out to Vegas on how to get a seat. It's like PSLs out there. They got like a seat license just to get a seat at a book to watch these games. That's not the case here at New Heights Brewing Company. You don't have to do that. But, Greg, let's talk about the news. There's a little bit of news out there concerning Philip Forsberg. Of course, David Poyle comes on our show every Tuesday at 11:15. Darren Dreger tweeted out that the Predators have re-engaged in contract negotiations with Philip Forsberg's agent, which is J.P. Barry. The Preds have maintained their focus on extending Forsberg. David has been very consistent with that message with us every week and this week, rather than trading their top goal scorer. Sounds like marginal progress has been made to this point. So we'll just ask you, what do you make of this? David said, I just point blank asked him where they were on talks, and he said that they're basically down to money. That's what it's come down to. So that's the way we took it. It seems like term, which we agree is probably max, right? 8 years, so they've worked through that, and probably a modified trade clause is probably there and accepted, and now it's just come down to money. So do you think this gets done before Monday?
Yeah, I definitely think it gets done. Maybe not before Monday, but I think maybe enough progress could be made where they're comfortable with it that they don't have to, make some sort of a move. But I've often wondered if they went full no move instead of modified no trade, if you can get the money down a little bit. I mean,
it ain't happening.
Yeah, I know.
In my opinion, it's not happening. He's not getting a full 8 years no move.
Yeah, I know that's something Foyle's not going to do. When we start talking about the money, though, the real question for me is Roman Josi's contract the internal cap? It has to be, right? I don't think they're going to have Forsberg go ahead of Josi's AAV. So, knowing that from Forsberg's position, is he comfortable coming in slightly under what Josi makes against the cap? If that's the case, I think they probably keep him. If it's more than that, I don't think they do, right?
Greg, yesterday Elliot Friedman was on. He comes on every Thursday with us, and he said that they may be approaching getting out of the sevens now, which I perked out. I was like, whoa, because I asked him how much the hurdle deal can be used as a gauge, for the Forsberg deal. Is that a fair comparison? And he said, yes, hurdle got the max 8 years, but he got $8 million. That's out in California, Greg, right? That's like $7 million per here. That's out in California, and if they're comparable, I was, surprised. So what do you make of that?
No, I think the hurdle contract definitely set the market for a lot of these guys. Not only Forsberg, but Nazem Kadri needs a contract out in Colorado, and there's a few others that are sort of in that same boat. So it's going to be interesting to see how that contract does impact negotiations. But I always take it as that's part of the math, right? The other part of the math is what the player's own situation within the context of the team is. Obviously, Forsberg is extraordinarily important to this team, a top-line player, been a borderline star here for a couple of years now. And then what someone else is making on another team can impact negotiations, but ultimately the biggest impact is going to be what the other people on the team are making, right? So, that's going to be the ultimate influence, I think, on where this cap number ends up is the rest of the salary structure on the Predators and what they feel a fair number to Forsberg is in relation to that.
We've talked to you for long enough. We've been talking to you for years and years and years, so I feel like I can ask you this question. If you're not comfortable, that's fine, too. What would you do? Not like what you think is going to happen or what David Poile is going to do. What would you do if you were heading the negotiations? How would you have it play out if it was up to you?
Well, I sign him, right? But I sign him with the knowledge that I did my due diligence to see if there was a comparable player that could come in at a lower cost and maybe is already under contract, maybe even is a little bit younger. There would have to be somebody who is a Philip Forsberg coming back my way in order to not re-sign the guy. And if there isn't, then I re-sign the guy. Look, the window of opportunity for this team extends beyond this season. And this season has been a real fun one and a real interesting one. And I think the Predators are a fascinating team in the Western Conference, especially in a Western Conference where I don't believe there is a juggernaut, despite what people say about Colorado and with due respect to Calgary. I think it's a conference that's a lot more winnable than people think. You've got to keep him around, obviously, for that. And I keep him around beyond that. I really like him, and I think he fits well in this team. He does great things offensively. He's going to be in his prime for at least half that contract. And it's all about windows, right? It's all about windows of opportunity, windows in which you're trying to win. You've got the goalie. You've got the defenseman. With the emergence of Duchesne, and you've got a couple now scorers that you can depend on. So I'm the guy. I'd keep him around. If there isn't somebody that you can get back that's younger and cheaper, I keep him around.
And what's your max number? How high would you go per?
Oh, four. No, I'm kidding. You're never going to get that. No, I would probably – what's Duchesne make against the cap? What is that,
eight?
Yeah, it's 8. So I would say you split the difference to go 8-5.
So you go 8.5.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a, I mean, that's
Yossi's making not like just, he's making that 9-0 and he did that stupid
9-0-5-9. Yeah.
My jersey number is a thing. Yeah, so he's making basically 9, and Duchesne is making 8. So what's the difference? If you can get him at 8-5, and maybe I'll go up to 8-7-5, or, you know, 8-7, what is it, 9, to get the uniform number in there, maybe I'll do that.
Okay, we need your help, because you need you to use your national platform. Roman Yossi is just killing it. I get, you know, he's already won the Norris, and we're thinking, well, maybe that's the ceiling. Well, it's not the ceiling for Roman. He is having a better year. I mean, he is on pace. The NHL public relations PR tweeted out last night, he's on pace to do what Phil Housley did 30 years ago as a defenseman.
When the number of goals being scored per game in the league was quite a bit higher.
This was
then.
The early 90s, yeah. And he had 97 points. We know Phil Housley's in the Hall of Fame. Roman's on pace to do the exact same thing, and yet we feel like sitting here in Nashville, he's like third or fourth currently in the Norris voting. Can we get some help from you to start pushing the captain down people's throats to let's get this thing realistic? I mean, it needs to be, in our opinions, and I get it, we're in Nashville, so you know that we're going to be a little bit biased, but it's got to be Makar or Yossi, right? But that doesn't feel like – it feels like he's like third or fourth right now in the vote.
Well, he was third in our last NHL Awards watch earlier this month, and he was behind Hedman, and he was behind Makar, who were really neck and neck with Norris. But I don't necessarily think I mean, I'll support his candidacy for sure. I think he's amazing, but I don't think you need me. I think what you need is what's happening right now statistically, which is that he's leading the NHL in points for a defenseman, and has played around the same number of games as Cale Makar, right? So he's got the lead there, and he's beating Makar in what is usually Makar's greatest argument in these cases, which is points per game. So across the board, he's a better offensive player than Cale Makar right now. We know he's a better defensive player than Cale Makar, right? So he is right now, because of this offensive outburst and because of how good he is offensively, making an extraordinarily compelling case that he should win another Norris. And I would say right now the thing that's preventing him from being the favorite is probably this like preseason coronation that's happened with Makar that we've seen with this award in previous years. Like, we have to give it to Doughty this year. We have to give it to Weber this year. I think that's happened with Makar. And that'll just maybe take a little bit of time for the voters to look up and realize the season that Roman Yossi's having, to the historic nature of that season. And then when they take a step back and look at the numbers and see that they're better than Makar's, then all of a sudden that case evaporates in the face of what Yossi's doing this season.
We've got more to ask you. Can we sneak away for a couple minutes and come
yeah,
back
sure.
with some more questions?
Absolutely.
All right, Greg Wyshynski will hang with us. We'll come back. More on the other side here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. We're talking NHL hockey. The Predators are back in action tomorrow night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, Greg, that's a good place to start. The Maple Leafs have been, as always, you know, a fun team to watch, especially from afar, because you watch the craziness that goes on. And, you know, no matter how well they play in the regular season, it's all going to come down to the playoffs. But what a drama it's been. They get whipped by the Buffalo Sabres in front of everybody in the outdoor game. Auston Matthews gets suspended. But then, lo and behold, they have this goalie come out of nowhere and win a couple of games, so they're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, of course, right? That's just how it works. You know, the best laid plans of a team, and then all of a sudden a seventh-round pick from 2015 named Eric Kallgren comes up and, like, Tom Brady's the Drew Bledsoe that is Jack Campbell, and steals the job. You know, who even knows what the Leafs are going to look like in the playoffs so far as their goaltending goes. I mean, they've got Mrazek there. They have Campbell there, who's obviously injured. Now they've got this Kallgren coming up and putting together a couple of good games. And, you know, obviously everybody in Toronto's got visions of Jordan Binnington dancing in their heads as far as, like, a goalie coming out of nowhere and saving a season. But the thing that concerns me with the Leafs is that for the last couple of years, they've been really selling us on the idea of their overall team being able to play a quality of defense that was commiserate with the playoffs. They were kind of using the Tampa Bay Lightning as an example of, you know, this is a high-scoring team with amazing offensive players, but, you know, just like they figured out how to play playoff-caliber defense, so have we. And we just have not seen it this year from them at all. So whoever's in goal is one issue, but the bigger issue for me is, you know, can they defend enough to win a playoff series? But that kind of brings me to another interesting point that something we're kind of working on, a story on over the next couple of weeks at ESPN, which is, are we convinced the playoffs will be defensive in nature? I mean, this season has been the highest scoring season we've had since the mid-1990s. I've talked to some people that are wondering whether or not that style of play is actually going to be what we end up seeing in the playoffs this year. Like, we're not going to all of a sudden pump the brakes and have 2-1 games, but maybe this high-scoring nature is going to be what we see in the postseason too.
It's a really interesting thought because, you know, when you have people shattering, you know, personal highs like the Predators have had, the Predators have not had two guys in the top 10 of goal scoring ever. You know, you think about this, and part of the reason is there are more goals being scored. So what's the right balance in your mind, Greg? I think we all want to see lead changes. We want to see comebacks possible in the playoffs. So what's your thought? Does some of it depend on how the game's officiated?
Huh. Well, I mean, it's two different questions, right? Like, from a fan perspective, I mean, let's go. the more
right.
scoring, the better. It is, you know, we're trying to get people to watch the product, and it's no secret that American fans are more apt to watch a game with a ton of goal scoring and goal scoring chances than they are to watch a 2-1 hockey game with a championship on the line. That's just human nature, and I think it's one of the things that's kept the NHL from really breaking through in the United States for decades is the fact that we've not had the same kind of scoring events as football and basketball, and that speaks not only to the entertainment aspect of it, but also the wagering aspect of it. From a team perspective, I think you have to go into this postseason with the mindset that we may still see high levels of goal scoring, which means that it's less about completely shutting down your opponent because you might not be able to just because of how the NHL has trended and because of some other catalysts for what we're seeing this year. But can you defend when you need to? You know, if you get a lead in the third period, can those next 10 minutes be your best defensive 10 minutes of the game? And that's really going to be what separates the good teams from the teams that leave the party early, is that ability. And we'll see who it is. I mean, you look at a team like Tampa, for example. I have the utmost confidence that between Hedman and Vasilevskiy, they're going to be able to hold a lead when they need to. And if the, you know, Predators can do the same with Josi and Soros, then they're going to be in a good position.
Another team that we're watching that seems to be pretty high drama right now, Greg, is the Golden Knights. They got a big win last night to sort of get off the schneid, but they have all of these issues. Apparently Jack Eichel left the game last night. They've got so many guys hurt. They've got all kinds of salary cap issues. What do you look what's their outlook in your mind?
Well, they have just above a 50-50 chance of making the playoffs right now, and Eichel took a shot off his arm, I think, last night, and I think I didn't hear anything definitive yet today as far as like what that injury looks like, but he didn't return to the game, and they could ill afford to lose him with all the other players that are currently injured. I mean, Mark Stone's laid up, and Riley Smith, Alec Martinez, most importantly, Robin Lehner, and there's been varying reports as to the extent and the specificity of the injuries that he's dealing with. It's gotten to the point where Pete DeBoer, their coach, is actively calling out their goaltending for not being up to snuff. They got a good performance last night against the Panthers. I was watching that game, so at least they got it for one night. But, you know, I don't think there's any guarantee right now that the Golden Knights are going to be a playoff team, which is kind of stunning to think when you think about the heavy investment in that roster and all the talent on that team. Part of it is injury. Part of it is some wonkiness in their play they've had all season. Part of it is obviously mistakes of their own making, like, for example, having one of the best goaltending tandems in the NHL and then not having it anymore because of some, you know, personal decisions that they decided to make and grudges and all sorts of things. So they're in a little bit of trouble, but I would still be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs.
One team that the Predators are always going to keep their eye on is the Stars, who still have a couple of games in hand on them. Nashville's pushed out to a little bit of a cushion on them, but everybody's always been wondering. Dallas has been this streaky team that when they're right, they look really good. It looks like they're going to hang on to a lot of their guys, in particular John Klingberg.
Yeah, and that was sort of out of necessity because Miro Heiskanen left their lineup. I think they, once that happened, they felt that they had to keep Klingberg around. It's an interesting move, obviously. I mean, you think about the value that teams have been getting for Josh Manson and Ben Chiarot, and if the Anaheim Ducks end up trading Hampus Lindholm, it's going to be for a rather large package going back the other way, too. And they could have easily gotten that for Klingberg, who I know a lot of teams, including the Florida Panthers, were looking to maybe acquire. But they, again, like if you think you're a playoff team, Dallas is example, exhibit A as to getting in and then seeing what happens, right? I mean, they're the team that basically proved that theory correct in the Edmonton bubble a couple of years ago by making the Cup final in a season where no one really thought that they'd have a chance to play for a championship. So I think that mindset is probably still the prevailing mindset within that organization, and keeping most of that team around at the deadline is going to be paramount. And they obviously think there's a window beyond it too, because they signed Joe Pavelski, who I think would have been way at the top of people's trade lists, to a 1-year extension to make another run at it next year.
All right. So if Klingberg is staying, Manson's been dealt, Ben Chiarot has been dealt, what's the market for defensemen right now? People in Nashville believe that certainly there's a need for at least some depth on the blue line, and I'm sure there's a lot of teams that would sign up for that. But what are we talking price-wise and availability?
Well, the biggest one is Lindholm from the Ducks, who I think is going to cost you a first, a third, and a prospect most likely from what I've heard. That's a contract negotiation that seems to have gone a little bit longer than you'd want, and the longer it goes, the more it appears he might be on the way out. And part of that is also Pat Verbeek, the new GM in Anaheim, kind of making it an edict behind the scenes that if you're not going to re-sign with us, we're going to trade you. We're not going to let you walk away for nothing. So if it doesn't look like he's coming back, then they're going to move him. And there's going to be a robust marketplace for him. He's a real good player. Then you have a kind of a step down to that next level. A lot of defensive guys, Justin Braun from the Philadelphia Flyers, the guy I'm really high on, Robert Haig from the Sabres, Calvin DeHaan from the Blackhawks, Nick Leddy from the Detroit Red Wings. Those are all guys that I think could help teams maybe not have the dramatic impact that a Lindholm might have or a Manson might have. But there's other options out there. I think on the blue line is probably the deepest part of this trade deadline, with the goaltending obviously being the thinnest part of this trade deadline.
Mm. Greg, good stuff as always. Really appreciate the visit. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how all this plays out. It's an active month. It'll also be another active month next month to close out the 82 games, and we'll see how the chips fall. Thanks for doing this as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You got it. Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski, Puck Daddy, ESPN. You can also catch him on Daily Wager. He does a really good job making picks there, and we do appreciate him joining us. We will talk about a little bit of last night's game. There's been a couple texts that have rolled in. They're sharing their frustration about last night's game. We'll do that on the other side, but first I'm going to talk to you about yesterday, the NCAA tournament. Wow, oh wow, right? What a crazy first day of the tournament. And yesterday I received so many wagers from folks right here in the Nashville community. And finally, I won some of them. Finally! Shout out to everyone who has been challenging me in their community rather than the house, like at Emperor Crimson, at AJC16, at Mandy Stapleton. Got a ton of other wagers already in play for today, so I am primed and ready to go. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it like St. Peter's right now. Got lots of confidence. For those who haven't heard, I've been using Wager, a new social sports betting app based right here in Nashville that lets you bet on sports with friends, coworkers, and other people here in the state of Tennessee. Instead of betting against the book that we all know is incentivized to see you lose. You can also smack talk in the app, follow friends, see what others are wagering on. You never have to chase anyone for money. It's totally different than any other app out there. I'm sending out and accepting wagers every single day during the tournament. So if you're over the age of 21 years of age, download the app right now on your phone's browser at wager.me/DMAC. That's wager, W-A-G-R, .me/DMAC, D-M-A-C. Once you're in, join the 102.5 The Game crew, and let's see if you can take some money from me. As always, you've got to be 21 years of age or older to play. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-889-9789. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Their season is underway. Nashville SC, don't forget, they're going to be playing in their brand new stadium not far from here in about a little bit over a month. It's going to be really, really cool. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. The whole gang is here. The suit is in the house.
What's going on?
The suit is in the house.
I even got a woo out there. That's cool.
Man. Now listen to this, Chase. This is what we are offering people. Listen to this. If you come join us here at New Heights Brewing Company, we're at 928 Rep. John Lewis Way, okay? Right off 4th Avenue. Can't miss us. Right off the exit. You come in here, you order a beer from New Heights.
Very good beer, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
Big fan.
It'll be cold.
Big fan.
Be cold. It'll go down smooth. Go see Junie. He's got a white game shirt on.
He's, Big Junie over looks, there.
He's got shine down tickets. He's like a peacock with tickets in his hand. Okay, he's got a big feather.
The feathers of the
big spread of shine down tickets.
I see what you did there.
See, look at him. Looks like a turkey. Go see him.
He's actually got physical tickets, too, which is cool.
No, yeah, he's going to put them in your hand. Okay, he's going to give you a pair of tickets after you've ordered a New Heights, just something from here, right? A beer. He's going to give you two tickets to Shinedown. Then you need to go see David from Wager. He's handing out free bets like Halloween candy, even though we're in March. Okay? He's back there talking to someone right now. And local distro and lip smacking. The truck is out there. Free food. Okay? Food. By the way, we sampled it yesterday. I know that shocks you. It's not free. Sorry. You got to pay. They gave it to me. They gave it to us free. Sorry. Whoops. Whoops.
Oops.
But the food is really, really, really good.
It's affordable. It's affordable.
Judy's jumped in and said, but it is affordable. It is. Okay, I misspoke. They did let us sample yesterday.
Well, that's hey.
And it was really, really good.
Sampling's good. Also, Best Way Rental in Madison for their massive TV.
The 70-inch Samsung TVs where you can watch the games.
And we know you're a TV snob, so you like that.
I am.
You approve.
So just come in here before all this stuff goes away. Just come hang out with us like you did yesterday. Okay. Before we get into what happened in Philadelphia last night, let's pass along the early games. Ohio State has jumped out to a 9-7 lead over Loyola Chicago. That's about 9 minutes in.
That's going to be a grinder, man. Auburn, two good teams.
Yeah, Auburn and Jacksonville State are going to tip here shortly. Okay, you were in Philly last night at Wells Fargo Center. The first period was just look away, right?
It wasn't good.
It was a gift that they were down 1-0. I mean, a gift. If you were looking for silver lining, they were only down a goal because it could have been a whole lot worse. UC Soros saved their bacon. They couldn't hold on to the puck. They were giving it away. They couldn't establish any ozone time. Basically, anything and everything that could go bad. They just looked very, very sluggish. Okay, and we know Claude Giroux, they were recognizing him. That game started late again. I feel like every road game gets off to a late start because somebody's getting recognized. There's some ceremony
that
the Predators are a part of. And the first period was not very good. Roman Josi said after the game he didn't like the second period either, even though the game was tied at 3. He said he liked the third period better, but I also felt like the last 5-6 minutes looked a lot like the first period. So when it got away from him, it got sloppy again.
Well, I mean, here's the bottom line. They gave up way too many quality chances to the Flyers. The Flyers should not be able to. Now, once again, put it in perspective, and every person who works that building told us the same thing. We have not had a crowd like this in months.
They have been out of it
for a couple months. They have been an absolute nightmare. Everybody's hurt. Ryan Ellis got hurt. Ryan Ellis, Couturier,
by the way,
got hurt.
His season is done. He played four games this year.
So everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. They've had a 10-game losing streak and a 13-game losing streak. So their crowd has been nothing. Last night, 18,400. It's rocking. Claude Giroux, probably his last game. It's just a matter of time before he gets traded. He's not traveling to Ottawa.
That's what's
because
crazy.
They play. They're keeping him out.
A thousand games straight up.
And that's it.
And then that's it.
And they know it. And so everybody senses it. So that was a different kind of motivation.
Will they take the third round pick this time? Is that what it was going to be? Oh. Wasn't that the rumor with the Forsberg that if it was another pick, that Giroux would have been a part of the trade?
I don't know.
Back in the day?
I don't know.
I've always heard that Giroux had been, you know, he was a prospect then, obviously. He wasn't what he is now, but that could have been a part of that.
Did they put him on waivers last year?
Giroux?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wasn't it? I think they put him on waivers and he passed through.
But nonetheless, the standard for the Predators is not to give up that much quality. They're too good of a team. They just did such a better job against better teams in their last couple outings defensively, and then for whatever reason, they just had some big, big mistakes. You know, bad turnovers, poor decisions, just mental lapses, and they were fortunate to not be further behind. But then they fight back and take the lead, and then for about 10 minutes of the third period, I really felt good about where it was going. They were dominating the game.
They get a goal reversed. I mean, it's like, okay, it's, you know, they're going to come away with 2 points, and it's like, wow. From this game, like, and I get it, Philadelphia's not good, but still, they had a lot to play for, and they're going to come away with 2 points. Like,
and then it didn't happen.
And then it didn't happen.
The 4-on-4, which remember, they had the goal waved off. Then there was a penalty that appeared to be called on Matthias Ekholm, so the place is buzzing. It gets negated because the guy did grab his stick and then dive. So it was a 4-on-4, and you're thinking, okay, this is good because the Predators have been a great 4-on-4 team all year.
I mean, Ekholm raised his hand immediately. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And then the one official had to come tell that they actually huddled up, and one official had to say, okay, look, let's call it on Ekholm because he was beat. You know, but that was an embellishment, a hook, or holding the stick. So 4-on-4, you like your chances, and Philadelphia scored 4-on-4. But the one that really was a killer was the go-ahead goal late. I just don't know how a guy gets that open there.
Well, but it just, couldn't see anything. I mean, he was wide open on the back door because UC couldn't see anything. You had Carrier and whoever he was battling in front, and UC had no clue what was going on because he couldn't see anything.
But these things happen.
Right? So, am I right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of things, I think, when you go back through the play that probably everybody could have done a little better.
Sure.
But that's hockey, right? I mean, that's what you have to try to keep in mind is over 82 games, you're going to have some games like that. You just can't let it snowball and have it affect the next couple games. The problem is you lose this game. Everybody else pretty much that needed to win won last night. The Kings won. The Golden Knights won. Edmonton won. Pretty much everybody but St. Louis, and even St. Louis got a point. So it
even
stings
Dallas
a little
won.
Bit more. Dallas won. So it even stings a little bit more because you missed that. But you got to put it behind you. The problem is you could play well on Saturday and still not win. They've got this goalie, Schalgren, who's come out of nowhere and saved them from goaltending problems. He's given them a little bit of life, and they'll get Austin Matthews back. So you got to get right back on the horse and get ready for tomorrow.
Mike in Murfreesboro on our text line driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com says the Preds game last night was the most frustrating game I've seen in a long time. Thank goodness the wife wasn't home because I was cussing up a storm. Stop trying to clear the puck in the middle of the ice.
That did happen a couple of times.
It did.
Yeah, and the thing I wonder about when you have a game like that, and I mean, we've seen the Predators do this several times of if you have a clunker, and that's just what it is. It just, you chalk it up. It wasn't a good game. John Hines said it afterwards. Roman Josi too. What's the bounce back? You know, because typically they've bounced back. So what does the bounce back look like on Saturday? You know, can they just shake it off and, you know, keep it moving? I mean, we know how this sport works. Even if you're playing well, Willie, you just said it. Even if you're playing well, you're not going to win all the games. And sometimes you're going to have an off night. and last night was an off night. It's just keeping it from being contagious.
Toronto won both games without Auston Matthews. They beat Dallas and Carolina.
Yeah, two very tough
without
wins.
Matthews, and then now they're getting him back Saturday, tomorrow night. We'll see. I will continue to say this. We've talked a lot this week about, you know, everybody has a differing opinion on what they should do. I've said I basically with Stan Pat, I'm not really – I understand the whole second line. I'm willing to tweak within. And this is what I said, and I don't know, Willie, if you were on the show, you weren't on the show.
It's hard to keep up with that.
Yeah, I know. And so I said my tweaks would come within. The only move I would make was get a little bit more defensive depth.
Last night, I think that was an example.
That continues to show that it's a need. But I would, and I know this is unpopular, and I've said this now several times this week. I get it, including the head coach. It's clear that he doesn't like what I'm about to say either. But I would move Tanner Janot up to the second line. I've said it all week. I would move Janot up to the second line because he's earned it, and I would push Cunnan back to the third line.
But they've tried it. They've tried it.
And they didn't like it. They don't like it.
They don't like it for a game?
Right, it's been a couple different times.
They don't like it because they don't want to – the beast herd line just does so well.
Tanner Janot has 20 goals in the season. He deserves – if you want some more punch, get him some more ice time. Put him up there on the second line with Granlin.
Is there really a difference between the second line and the third line anyway? On this team.
Well, everybody directs the make a trade to give the second line some more pop.
Yeah, that's one way you could do it. But
I say move Janot up.
I don't think that's in the
cards. Slide Cunnan back. I said it's unpopular. Me, I would put Tomasino on the second line as well.
Yeah, I mean, they need to do something with the
second
line. I would
have Tomasino, Janot, and Granlin as my second line. That's what I've said all week, and I'm not changing. I would put Tolvanen down on the fourth with McCarron, and I would have Cunnan on the third with Sissons and Trennan. That's what I would do, and my move by Monday would be add a depth piece in the decor. Obviously, you're not going to give up a ton, but I don't know what the status of Borowiecki. You know,
Borowiecki,
you don't know.
He's getting close. He's going to. He has a chance to come back tomorrow.
But he also, the style of, you know, play and how physical he is, his body's been beat up. And you don't know if you know, when's the next time, right? I mean, he sacrifices his body with fights, blocking shots. I mean, we know.
That's the whole team. You could lose anybody at any time. That's something. But I think overall, that's probably where you look. And those guys are gettable. You just heard Greg Wyshynski say, you know, it may not be a superstar, but I think there are guys you could get to bolster the blue line.
Viking Matt on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com says his bracket is now named Beaten, Bloodied, and Broken. I'm with you, Matt.
Okay.
I feel the same way. We'll come back.
Mine died, too.
Wrap up it's the okay. second hour. You just made the list. Coming up at noon, Things on Tap here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back here. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can watch us. You can stream us as well. The video streaming brought to you by Amanda Gentry. As we're here at New Heights Brewing Company. I got great beer on tap. The games are going on. Ohio State leading Loyola Chicago 15-11. 5 minutes and change left in the first half. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. As you're enjoying a little lunch there. That's okay.
You'll see the lip smacking truck, local distro. Whew.
A little spicy?
No, it's just good. Really, okay. Really good. Turkey ribs. Hello. Kyle on our text line says, why not bring up Grimaldi for Tolvanen? The production just isn't there for Tolvanen.
Well, they love Tolvanen's game. They love Tolvanen's all-around game more so than Grimaldi. And that's no knock at Rocco. And I just said this to one of our listeners that's here at the show.
Well, I think I think that's who it is that just texted.
Okay, we're going to pretend that you're two different people.
Okay.
Because it sounds like there's more people agreeing with the same thing. So it sounds like people agree with you.
Okay. But, let's pretend like Kyle's not here.
Yeah, so Kyle, there's another Kyle. Either way. You got to give Rocco all the credit in the world because his attitude has been tremendous down there. And he keeps putting up numbers to force the conversation.
Sure.
To force the conversation. I just don't think they're going to do it. They love what it's doing for Cody Glass too, because Cody Glass is putting together a really good season. And long-term, he's starting to at least – I don't think he's in the plans for this year. But I think down the road
– because he's a center.
He's now a guy that I think could be a productive player. He's still pretty young. He's still a guy that, you know, maybe he's not going to have this high ceiling that you would think, hey, the sixth pick in the draft. That's sort of on the side.
Sure.
But I think he can be a viable piece down the road, and that's a great thing going on. But for now, I just think they really believe – in Tolvanen, long term.
Well, and I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would like to see him score more because that's what you thought you were getting. That's what he was billed as. That's what you drafted him for. But how his game has evolved, especially in the John Hines era, because, I mean, how many times did we have the conversation, Willie, that, you know, they were saying that away from the puck, he's just got to get better. And that's why he was in Milwaukee for so long. Well, it's almost like it worked too well. That now he's just got this other part of his game. He's even got some grit to his game that I didn't expect. I mean, I've seen him. We talked about it with him on Smashville Live, Hal and I, and he said he kind of likes that part of it now. That he likes laying the hit and, you know, being a little more tenacious, going after the puck. So that his game has evolved, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Now you want to see him score goals. 8 goals or whatever it is on the season is not good enough, but. The other parts of his game make it very hard to take him out of the lineup. I mean, I hear what you're saying on Rocco. I love Rocco, but I just don't see a spot for him.
Well, right now with Cunnan, Tolvanen, and Granlund, especially with Granlund's two-way play, that's almost the shutdown line. You can play them against other teams' top players. Now, that's not the ideal second line. But as Darren was saying, because you have Janot with 20 goals, the third line is giving you extra scoring punch. And Trennan's got 14 goals. I mean, he could get close to 20 before the year's over. So it's because you get that scoring. It's not like this team is lacking being able to score. They're able to score. So it's a balance between the two. It's really puzzling though why Tolvanen and Cunnan haven't scored more. Cunnan is in this discussion too. He's Cunnan in a major drought right
19,
now.
19 points. It's
a big drought. I mean, that's just not what he's capable of doing. And he does the right things too. He's a guy that's real physical. He grinds. He might pass Shea Weber for hits in a season as well, which was the all-time franchise high.
Slide
coming
him back
in.
To the third line and let him hit people on the third line.
What you're basically saying is the third line is the second line.
No, unless, I'm saying Trennan has got 20 goals. He is producing, so put him on the second line with Granlund.
Janot. You said Trennan. Yeah.
Oh. But that's I know what you meant.
The turkey ribs are getting
better. Why would you break up that line?
Because you break up lines all the time.
Not that line.
No, it is.
They've tried it.
They had Duchesne they had and tried Forsberg it a couple on the of times, second line, and they pushed them to the first.
But every time they've tried it, they end up coming back to the same conclusion. I like what the herd gives me.
Okay, then let's stop talking about the second line not producing then. Well, just leave it alone and just accept that's what they are.
You said it to the caller the other day, though. Does this team struggle to score?
What did I say? No.
Well, then what's the problem, really?
Let me ask you this.
I'm just addressing that. Don't you need more production on the second line?
Who cares where the production comes from, if as long as you get the production? This team scored 4 or more in 6 out of the last 7 games. When they're losing, it's because they're giving up too many goals.
But,
it's but not
Cunnan,
because
Cunnan and Tolvanen were also brought in to be secondary goal scorers, and they're just not doing it. So, I mean, to his point,
doesn't mean they won't do it.
Now, I will say,
remember Colin Wilson, the playoff Colin Wilson? He had a year where he had like 11 goals the whole year, and then
he
ripped
playoff,
it in the playoffs.
Playoff Colin Wilson. Let me ask you this though, because you said that Cody Glass looks like he's not in the plans for this year. If this continues. And I know you got to take somebody out of the lineup to do this, so I don't know who that is. I don't know if it's Cunnan or, you know, what we were just talking about with Tolvanen. But could you not move Granlund back to the wing and put Glass in the center?
Granlund has too many responsibilities as the center. He's too important. He's become an essential glue guy as the center to me.
He's a distributor.
But Glass cannot handle those responsibilities at this stage of his career. Now, down the road, I think that's what they're trying to turn him into, is a guy that may not be a first-line center, but could he be a good all-around guy? He has excellent skills on the power play. It's not anything that they need right now. But Granlund is the guy. He leads their team in forward ice time. He's the guy that's out there in all the situations. So he's not moving, I don't think.
Fair. I'm just curious.
I'm telling you,
you
what
have
I
to
would
try
do.
To look beyond.
I would do that
scoring. Who
they're
scores?
They're not going to, but that's what I would do.
It's what role each guy plays.
I would. I've said it all
the
week.
Chemistry.
Trenton on the second line. Tomasino on the second line. Cunnan slides back to the third with Sissons and Trenton. And Tolvanen on the fourth line. That's it with Cousins and McCarron.
I think they'll.
By the way, Tanner Jeannot. Who? I mean. He may end up having the rookie. Who knows what his goal potential could be before it's all said and done this season?
Yeah.
What's the record, 26?
Forsberg had 26 his rookie year.
I'd say there's a good chance of that.
He's going to be right there.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to most likely see two 40-goal scorers.
Was Forsberg, did he do that from the third line that season?
No, that was one of the bold moves that a first-year coach, Peter Laviolette, did. He took Forsberg and he put him right on the first line.
But didn't he put him with
start.
Ribeiro? Isn't that when he and Ribeiro kind of had that
if I remember going? Correctly, yeah, I think so. That team had everything come together surprisingly well.
Yeah.
Because nobody – that just like this team, nobody was predicting that team to do anything.
That's when they –
And they did a
Chicago
great job.
In the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They finished ahead of Chicago in the regular season.
Right.
Come back. Tell us who or what's made you mad all week.
I got a good one.
Good. Got a great prize. You just made the list to start the third hour. Right now I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier, just like they've helped a lot of you. And if you haven't been there, they can help improve your quality of life. Maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would love to shed. We've all been in that phase as adults, right? Well, weight loss management's important to them, and they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Your appearance is important, but boy, does it get more challenging. Things start happening the older we get. Well, their experienced staff can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally hormone therapy. If you had your levels checked, do you realize they tend to dip as you get older? That can affect your mood. It can affect your drive. It can affect your energy. It can just affect you feeling off. And you're like, what's going on? Well, sit down with their staff and discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all under one roof in Cool Springs. It's a state-of-the-art facility at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about these folks, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can pick up the phone and dial this number to schedule an appointment or consultation. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.